Hey, it's Eric. If you've ever worked with me in a professional capacity or hung out with me socially, you know I love to talk about index funds. And that's what we're going to do on the other side of this break. See you in a minute.
Welcome to The Plain Wealth, a show about wealth, health, and happiness. Join Eric Cooper and guests as they discuss what they are working on, working out, and what they are working for. All opinions expressed by Eric and guests are solely their own opinion and do not reflect the opinion of ELC advisors. This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon for any investment decisions. Clients of ELC advisors may maintain positions in the securities discussed in this podcast.
This podcast is brought to you in part by ELC Advisors. ELC Advisors is an efficient low-cost wealth management firm that brings Wall Street experience to Main Street at a fair price. Our fees are less than half of the national average. Experience well-priced advice today. ELCAdvisors.com.
Hey there, I'm Eric. Welcome back to The Plain Wealth. Today, we're going to do a little fun video on, do index funds matter? What should you put in your portfolio? Why would you choose passive management over active management, meaning a manager with all their skill and hard work picking you the winning stocks, right? So we're going to look at a little website today, S&P Global. Every year they do, or twice a year they do, a report card called the SPIVA report card. So the S&P index versus active. So why does it matter? Like, just buy whatever you want. Whatever your advisor or someone in your 401k say, oh, just put that in your portfolio and it's good for you. Trust us. Trust us. Why does it matter? Well, it matters because the premise of active management is essentially with enough skill and time. I'm just reading here. It's easy to consistently outperform the market or the benchmark. Viewers of this channel would know that is not true. It is incredibly difficult, even with PhDs, supercomputers, quants, MBAs, people doing qualitative analysis, technical analysis. It is nearly impossible over any period of time to outperform the benchmark net of fees. So yeah, maybe they can come close, but now they're charging you 1.5-2% in management fees for that service to outperform the benchmark. Net of fees, you're actually below what the benchmark was with just a low-cost index fund. So let's get back to this paragraph here. The impact is far-reaching. It informs decisions about whether to use an active manager or index funds in an index-based fund such as an ETF. It challenges the notion that alpha is what all investors should strive for. It has also created a need to gauge the suitability of both approaches across a range of time periods and asset classes. All right, so what is alpha? Beta is just tracking a market one for one. Any alpha is outperformance of what the market and its stated, not just the S&P 500, but its stated index. So if you're tracking small cap, you have to, you know, apples to apples, right? If you're talking about bonds, well, then you can't be quoting an S&P 500 return if you're talking about a short-term treasury bond fund, because those are very different asset classes. So it matters because some people will just throw out, oh, what the S&P did, and then they're not being compared to the right metric. So maybe it's actually unfair to some of these active managers if the S&P 500 is returning something, but they're managing a bond fund. So those are different things, and people are having different conversations and talking past each other. But this debate does matter because, you know, famously all these active managers and hedge fund managers saying the market's broken because of all the passive management. Well, the market keeps going up and down. During COVID, it really tanked. If it were super broken and things were detached, wouldn't that just say, well, people keep buying their 401ks, so it should just go up? That's kind of the contention of active managers saying market dynamics are fully broken, to which I would push back and say, then you as an arbitrager or understanding deeply of markets should be easily be able to outperform if the markets are so broken. So find the areas where they're broken and then you can earn your excess fee and your 2-20 on your hedge fund if they're so broken. Otherwise, why are you underperforming so much if you understand the markets so deeply and they're so broken? So, but I digress. Let's get back into this website. I'd recommend going to S&PGlobal.com, finding the SPIVA research. Let's get down to the next slide. This just talks a little bit about all their benchmarks they're doing. But I think this next slide is even better. What does SPIVA tell us? Okay. While no two SPIVA scorecards are exactly the same, certain themes have emerged over time. One is that actively managed funds have historically tended to underperform their benchmarks over short and long periods. So you'd think, wait, you just have to outperform 1 year. Seems easy. Coin flip, right? 50-50, I should be able to do it. And we'll get into that a little more. But short and long term, you say, well, okay, if I can find the best manager over long term, they'll be able to show their mettle that they understand market dynamics, but they had a bad year. But over 5 or 10 years, surely my guy or gal will be able to outperform. What this data from the last 20 years shows, not so much. This has tended to underperform their benchmarks over short and long-term periods. This has tended to hold true with exceptions across countries and regions. Another recurring theme is that even when a majority of actively managed funds in a category have outperformed the benchmark over one time period, they usually fail to outperform over multiple periods. So I just kind of said that. Yeah, maybe you can outperform for 1, 2, 3 years, but now 5? 10? Is there persistence? And the answer, as this data will show us, is no. This brings me a little bit to a deeper point of, look, the markets can be fun and they're interesting and buying, if you, NVIDIA is all in the news today, they had a beat, if you own that, it feels good. Buying individual names, oh, I'm investing, I'm learning, that's great. But the way to do that is if you want to be a fund manager. But if you're a fund manager, you're probably underperforming. Here's another kind of anecdotal piece of data. Most fund managers don't even have skin in the game. They don't even invest in their own funds. They're reaping all the rewards from managing other people's money and making a bunch of income from managing that fund to provide alpha. And they're not even investing in their own money. Often, and I've seen this on my time on Wall Street, we were highly incentivized and compensated to sell actively managed product, but what do they do in their PAs, in their personal accounts? What are they doing in their own portfolios? Low cost index funds, up and down senior ranks of management. So people had 100,000 to 20 million low cost index funds. Yeah, maybe they'll say, oh, we eat our own cooking. We seeded this with firm capital and X amount of partners put in their own money. But it's actually just a small percentage of their own net worth. So 90% is probably in low cost index funds. And so they can save face and say it, they're putting 5, 10, maybe 20% into a pooled investment vehicle in the firm. So the real game of Wall Street is not necessarily to outperform, it's to try not to lose money, try to keep up. There are a lot of these managers or closet indexers. So they'll say, oh, they have all these amazing tools and research and how they create alpha. They own Apple and Microsoft, just like the index funds. They're closet huggers, even though they're charging a much higher fee. Okay, let's get into this a little more. Let's see. Why is it so hard to win with active management? This is great. SPIVA research tells us that relatively few active managers are able to outperform passive managers at only any given time period, either short-term or long-term, as stated previous slide. But the true measure of success of active management is whether a manager's strategy can deliver above average returns consistently over multiple periods. Demonstrating the ability to outperform repeatedly is the only proven way to differentiate manager skill from luck. Through research published in our persistence scorecards, look those up, we show that relatively few funds can consistently stay at the top. So I want to get into these numbers a little bit, but this is interesting. So I'm going to repeat. Even the managers who do outperform, this is what happens. They outperform, they use it as a marketing vehicle, they bring in tons and tons of assets, many times billions of dollars. They can now put that on fee. They're making huge income for the firm and for the fund. But you got in because you looked at the last 3 years of data or 2 years of data or 1 year of data and that they outperformed. And now it's much harder to perform with bigger pools of capital and their luck ran out. So you're better off just using a low cost index fund because you say, well, I can select the manager or my person, my advisor can select the manager. Can they? So let's get back to this data. So funds, starting with 1,121 funds, I will mentally just say 1,000 funds to do rough back to the envelope math, don't do public math, but here we are. Data represents U.S. domestic funds staying in the top half by performance since 2015. So after 1 year, 317 funds remain in the top half. That's at a starting 1,100. So 1,121. A coin flip, I'm going to just use 1,000 funds for easy math. A coin flip would suggest 500 out of just luck, 50-50 chance. And I know there's fees in there, et cetera, but bear with me. Just back of the envelope math. 50-50, 500 should have been in the top half. So what are they doing when only 317 out of 1,100 were in a top half? Oh, it gets better. It gets better. After 2 years, so if 1,000 funds in 1 year of a coin flip, 50-50, should have been 500, and in 2 years of a coin flip, should have been 250 that stayed in the top half. There's only 109. So it's looking worse and worse, right? So let's go to 3 years. I'm going to use my same rough math. 1 year, it's the same, the top half, coin flip, should have been 500. 2 year, 250. By the third year, with a coin flip, now we're eliminating half and half. You would think 125, but only 70 after 3 years. So the data is kind of telling, just shows it is really hard to outperform your own investment management fees of a firm. You can have the most brilliant tacticians and strategists and macro economists, but the market's fickle. We don't know which way it's going to go. And then you say, well, we do bottoms-up analysis, fundamentals, they're all that matter. We understand management team deeply. We use a lot of qualitative analysis, and we look at their track record of history, their history of performance. I think those things matter. I think those things matter for price discovery. I think active management is actually really important to hold boards accountable, to keep management accountable, to find the price discovery for where stocks and bonds should trade. But you, as an individual investor, you don't have that bandwidth, wherewithal, time frame, knowledge, et cetera, almost none of us do, to get that deep just to underperform the market. So I think when you're thinking about, should I use active management funds, the data is telling that would probably push you towards passive management. And by the way, there's a whole industry that's has cropped up that says, oh, we're low cost index funds and they're still active, or there's low cost index funds that are truly passive. They just hug the benchmark, but they're very expensive. So I think as a takeaway, I would say make sure you're using very low cost index funds. And by low cost, I mean something under 10 basis points or 0.10% or $100 per year for $100,000 managed. You can break out your spreadsheet and do that rough math. If you have $100,000 invested at 1%, that's costing you $1,000 a year, which is taking away from your compounding. So, all right, we're going to leave it there for today. Make sure you're keeping your investment expenses low, you're investing for decades, you're not trading too much, and don't be swindled in by someone with a fancy product that say they can do it better for you, because likely they can't. All right, we'll see you next time.